In the holy letters of the Rebbe, this is letter number 3401. This is dated, Baruch Hashem, the 11th day of Nisan. That's the Rebbe's birthday. And the Rebbe wrote many letters on his birthday. This is in the year Tovshin Tezvov, that's 1955. That's the date of this letter. And it's in Brooklyn, New York. And the Rebbe is addressing it to the great genius, to the great chassid, Moreinu Moshe Duber Sheyichye Rifkin. Rabbi Rifkin was the Rosh Yeshiva, also in the Yeshiva Torah Vadas. Now, the Yeshiva Torah Vadas is a not Lubavitch Yeshiva, but yet he was a scholar, and they hired him as one of their rabbis over there. He was yet back by the Rebbe Rashab, by the father of the previous Rebbe, back in Lubavitch. He actually wrote a book, Ashkaf to the Rebbe, which describes the passing of the Rebbe Rashab in great details and in halachas and in other areas. And the Rebbe says to him, Sholem Uvrocha, and the Rebbe says, I received your letter. And the Rebbe says, as the festival of Pesach Hagamatzis, the time of our freedom is approaching, which is for us and for all Yidden for the good, I want to express my blessings for a kosher and a happy Pesach. And the Rebbe says, true freedom. What does it mean, true freedom? True freedom means freedom from physical worries, and also freedom from spiritual worries. What does it mean, spiritual worries? Sometimes you have things that interfere serving Hashem with joy, a gladness of heart. You have issues, you have challenges. The Rebbe says, experience true freedom, freedom of all kinds of worries. And then to continue this freedom and this joy for the entire year. That's the Rebbe's blessing to him. The Rebbe's blessing to him is to be free of worries and free of anything that stops him from doing his service to Hashem, not to have any worries, not physically and not spiritually. Now, he sent the Rebbe two booklets of his Torah, of his insight. One of them is about Shaila, I guess, laws that apply. I mean, again, I have to guess, laws that apply when you borrow something, how he had a whole discourse about that. And also about a chatzitza. Chatzitza means an interference. Like this, when you use a mikvah, when you use a pool of water to immerse yourself, your entire body has to be immersed in that pool of water. If you have a chatzitza, which means you have a band-aid, let's say, that is an interruption, it interferes, you're not fully being immersed in the water. Now, this is scholarly stuff over here, so just bear with me. So the Rebbe says, I got them, and thank you. And Rebbe says that it seems like one of them is the same booklet that you already sent to me in a mimeograph. He already sent it originally. This was already the published booklet. So the Rebbe is going to make several notes, you know. I guess, you know, the Rebbe makes notes, and you know, here he wrote up to the Rebbe, but the Rebbe will ask him over here four questions. The Rebbe says in the spirits of Pesach, you know, the Manishtana, you have four questions. And the Rebbe gives him like four very powerful challenges to what he wrote over there.
It's easy for you to see me.
Yes. The Rebbe gave him, take a chair.
No,
sit over there.
I love to stand.
What?
At work or sent for 6 hours right. In a row, so it's okay.
So, he says that it is, you know, the Rebbe sort of almost like apologizes for pointing out to him or making him, you know, aware of some questions that the Rebbe has. And the Rebbe says that is, there's an expression called patetaya deraisa, the small talk of the Torah, which means the Rebbe says, even though I'm in a big rush now, but still the Rebbe says, it's true what I'm going to tell you. It's not just, God forbid, and I will do four questions, and it is the tradition for this holiday. You ask the four questions. The Rebbe says, I'm presenting you with four questions on your booklet. Okay, so now, number one, the Rebbe asks him, in this topic of chatzitza, so the Rebbe says, I'm surprised that you hadn't really invested, or you hadn't touched the question, when to find out the main concept of the chatzitza. What is the status? Is it when you have an interruption? So that means that you didn't immerse yourself at all. So if you immerse yourself, the Rebbe wants to know, is it considered non-immersion, or it's considered immersion with a chatzitza? You did immerse yourself, but it's a chatzitza. You know, if a person should not immerse himself completely, he hasn't immersed himself. You can't immerse 3/4 of your body. But what happens when you have an interruption? Is that considered like you have not immersed yourself at all? And the Rebbe says, where do we learn out that there can't be a chatzitza? Because the Torah says you should wash your entire flesh in the water. So since it says wash your entire flesh, it must mean all of your flesh without any interruption. So it would seem logical that if you had a chatzitza, that's not considered washing your flesh. That would be just like you didn't put your entire body into the water. So it's not an immersion. It's not like it's an immersion with an interruption, but it's a non-immersion to begin with. And this would also simply explain what happens is if when you immerse yourself, you close your lips tightly so that the water can't enter, that's considered to be also a not good immersion, because the fact that you're closing it tightly, you don't have to swallow the water, but you can't cover it tightly. Or that's on one hand. On one hand, we're going to say that this is not considered to be a tevila egaro. On the other hand, we can say, no, it is a good immersion. However, it's a non-fit immersion. And therefore, it'll make a difference. If there is a, most of the person has an interruption, or it's a little bit. So basically, in interruptions, in chatzitza, there is different measure, how much of the chatzitza there is. So therefore, it seems like from that it is considered immersion, and that's why there makes a difference. If we would consider it non-immersion, then it wouldn't make a difference how much of the chatzitza, because you hadn't immersed yourself fully, or you can't immerse yourself partially. Anyways, the Rebbe says, still, we would need to understand how would this be different, because we learned it out from Verachas. Basically, the Rebbe is saying, it seems simply that having a chatzitza should be the same law as not immersion, because from the verse we learned it out. But yet there is differences. The Rebbe is saying to him, I'm surprised you didn't address this in your dissertation, in your book over there. The Rebbe has. It's question number one. Now, then he says, the Rebbe has another question over here. He writes in over there, in the beginning of chapter of page 5. Again, it's very difficult to know exactly. I don't have what he writes over there. I just see where the Rebbe is making a note. I have to figure out what he says over there. But the Rebbe says, I'm surprised that if something which is only minority so the Rebbe says, but if you care about it, see, sometimes we consider something an interruption, a chatzitza. When do we consider a chatzitza if you care about it? Let's say a person who's always working with his hands are a little bit dirty because that's his job, and he never really cleans them up so well because he can't get it off. So he doesn't care about it. So that would not really be considered an interruption, a chatzitza for him, because that's how his body works. His body has those pieces by it. But the Rebbe says, if you have a small part and you care, that's not really a chatzitza. It's only the rabbi said, no, we don't want you to immerse yourself, and that is considered also. So apparently that's connected to what he says. The Rebbe corrects him on what he's written over there. Again, we have to look up his booklet, what he says, and to see how exactly what he said. Okay, further the Rebbe asks him also, number 3, why he didn't mention the response of the Tzemach Tzedek, which is, of course, he's a Lubavitcher, and this is the third Chabad Rebbe, and Rebbe points to Yerideya, which has many halachas that we can learn with regards to this. Okay, so the Rebbe points out that as well. And number 4, the Rebbe brings out about the tefillin. He writes over there, in chapter, on page 15, 17 and 18, he writes over there that really when you put your tefillin on your head, he says the tefillin, he says, should be on your head. It has to be, the Torah says, that it should be laying on your head. But he says, but the reality is that the head of a person is not flat, it's circular, so there is a space between the box and your head. So he says, that's considered, the rabbi, he wrote, that's considered to be a chatzitza, that's an interruption between the tefillin and your head. The ear is in between the tefillin shel rosh, the head tefillin, and the head. And he writes that, well, the Torah doesn't really care about that because this is the way that you put the tefillin on, so we don't consider that an interruption. So therefore, what is his conclusion? The rabbi's conclusion. The rabbi challenges him, but his conclusion is that you should make as little as possible, try to put your tefillin down, you know, as close as you can to your head, so it's on your head. And the Rebbe says, in my opinion, I don't think so. The Rebbe says, I don't think so. The Rebbe says, because just the opposite. The Torah was very particular that the bottom of your head tefillin should be flat. Because we find in the Gemara, Rebbe brings down from the Gemara in Menachos, that if somebody should make his tefillin circular, the Gemara says that the bottom, first of all, the Gemara says it's dangerous, and there's no mitzvah. Why? Because, or make it very pointy. Why? Because you go by a doorpost and you bang your head, and if it's circular, it goes straight into your head, God forbid. And there's no mitzvah because the Torah wants it to be square. So the tefillin need to be square and need to be flat. That's from the Gemara. So first of all, the Rebbe says the tefillin have to be flat, the bottom. And the Rebbe says, in a second, the Rebbe will say that a flat thing on a non-flat surface only touches the flat on the non-flat surface at one point. If you put something flat on a circular or a non-straight, the flat will only touch it at one point. It will touch it, and had it not been, the Rebbe says, for the weight of the tefillin shel rosh, which sort of squishes a little bit the skin of the head, the Rebbe says that would, that's flat. Hold on a second. We'll have a discussion about this in a minute. It's only in a, if you have a circular, the flat touches it at one point only, and by the actual head of the person, the flat of the tefillin, the weight of the tefillin weighs down on the skin, and that flattens a little bit of it. And so the Rebbe basically says, this is the way the tefillin is made, and it's meant to be, and it's not a problem. The Rebbe brings further from the introduction of the Pirush HaMishnayos for the Rambam. He brings over there that things that we have by tradition, they're how do we know a lot of things? How do we know this is the interpretations? The rabbis came and interpreted and said, how do we know an esrog that we use, the citrus fruit, how do we know exactly what it is? So the Rambam writes, Maimonides writes, because this is what the Jewish people have traditionally done. It's not like one day somebody woke up and said, oh, I'm going to bring a grapefruit. This has been passed down for all these generations, starting going back to Joshua, all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu. We know what an esrog is. So the Rebbe says, we know what tefillin are. This is not that somebody came, and besides what the Gemara says, but we know it by tradition. This has been passed along. So this is the tefillin, and this is the way we put on the tefillin. Nobody is ever worried about pushing the tefillin down. So the Rebbe basically says that, in his opinion, don't worry about the space between the tefillin and your head. That's, you know, that's expected. So the Rebbe writes to him 4 points. First, after the Rebbe expresses his blessings to have a happy Pesach, freedom, and a joyful, and no worries from physical or spiritual matters, just to be able to serve God with simcha. The Rebbe talks to him about 4 different questions. We're not going to go through all the questions again. The Rebbe basically why references, but the Rebbe addresses the tefillin issue. He suggested that the tefillin should be, the space between the tefillin and the head should be less, and the Rebbe says, no, this is the way it is, and it's not really anything to worry about.